second in the series of Satan's Secret Weakness. And I want to go through some verses with you and just declare what God would do in our lives if we understood this weakness of the devil. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would just anoint our ears to hear the word of the Lord. I pray, God, that my mouth would be filled with wisdom, that, God, that what you want to say to individuals will be said today. I just humbly ask, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would fill me. And I declare the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the word. May the word today go forth. And Father, I bind the adversary of our soul that he cannot hinder. I pray that for illumination in every mind, that there would be a great understanding, a revelation, an unveiling of who our adversary is, that we would see his weakness and then attack him therein in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Hallelujah. Michelle, God has a purpose for your life. He's going to open up a new door for you. I think it's in the realm of work. I don't think it's necessarily a new job, but a promotion, favor, that your bosses, the people around you are just going to just be in wonder of how wisdom comes into your heart and how you problem solve. God is going to give you a word of wisdom, and it's going to promote you at the workplace. And so promotion is coming your way. Amen. Yeah. Let us know when it happens. Betty Morris, I want to give you a word. God has anointed you to lay hands on those that are oppressed and set them free. There's healing in your hands. There's deliverance in your mouth. As you speak the word, people are going to get set free by the power of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's look together at this verse on the secret weakness of the devil in 2 Corinthians 2:10 and 11. It says, "Now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sake in the presence of Christ, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." Now, this is an interesting verse. Paul and his traveling companions understand the secret weakness of the devil. They understand how he works, how he operates. They understand his strategies against humanity, his hate towards people. And because they understand his weakness, his strategy, they can protect themselves and the body of Christ from Satan's attack. Now, I think that most of the Church of Jesus Christ today, 2002, is ignorant of the strategies, the devices, the weakness of Satan. We're not attacking him in that realm in which he's vulnerable. And about 7 years ago, God revealed to me this understanding of Beelzebub, which Beelzebub is the title of Satan. It is the prince or it's the lord of the flies. And when I understood that, I began to study flies. And last week, if you were here, I grossed you out talking about flies. And it's interesting that flies carry 40 diseases known to man. That flies are probably the most dangerous insect of all insects. That their legs and arms have little bristles like brooms, and it's Velcro. And so whatever they land on, like a decaying carcass or maggots or whatever, whatever they land on sticks to them. So they carry with them all of this contamination. And when they fly and land in your face, that contamination is there. When they land on your sugar bowl and eat, that contamination is there. They're filthy. Don't you just hate flies? I mean, I can think of no good thing that a fly does except to kill him. Have you ever noticed that when you finally pay attention to him, he seems to vanish? Have you ever noticed? They can travel 60 miles a day. They're busy little creatures. And so we have found that if we come against Satan in that area of his weakness, which is he is a short-term fighter, a fly only lives 4 days to, I think, 3 weeks, depending on the species. But flies are short-term fighters. They can't stand long resistance. And so you and I need to come against the adversary of our soul. Look with me on our overhead, Isaiah 14, verses 16 and 17. Says, this is Isaiah talking about Satan and what people are going to think of him in the last days when we see him. It says, "Who shook kingdoms, who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities, who did..." Oh, I'm sorry. Is that right? Okay. "Who did not open the house of his prisoners. Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, 'Is this the man who made the earth tremble?' There's going to be an unveiling of the weakness of Satan in the last days. Isaiah sees it as a believer. His eyes are open, and he sees this multitude of humanity looking at the adversary, almost like there's a spotlight that comes on him, and everyone's staring at him, and they see how weak he is, and they go, this is the guy that terrorized everyone? This is the one that shook nations and kingdoms? You heard me say that Satan is not omnipresent. He's not here this morning. I don't think he bothers with Blake Cromwell. He sends one of his little demons because, you know, Satan goes after the big guys. He goes after, you know, Saddam. He's in Baghdad probably inspiring that insanity. He goes after the big preachers like Billy Graham. He says, Blake, not a big deal. Now he will send spirits and they will resist the work of God and they will inspire evil. But he's not omnipresent. He's not in everywhere. And at that one point, he's going to be in front of all of humanity. They're going, this is the guy? This is the bully? How did we allow him to shake kingdoms? Now, we need to see that today, as Isaiah saw it. Our eyes need to be open so that we can come against this weakness that Satan has. And he does have a weakness. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will. So there's a godly promise for you. And it doesn't say, David, since you're a Christian for all of your life, if you resist the devil, he'll flee from you because God's with you because you've been with the Lord so long. No, he says, if you just accepted Christ today, you can resist the devil and he will flee from you. You can terrorize hell. Hallelujah. You can make devils tremble, shake. Woo, doesn't that make you just want to go, the Lord rebuke you, Satan? Let me talk about the adversary's strategies against us. And real quickly, I'm going to go through these. But first of all, he degrades us with insults. Did you know our playgrounds are full of insults from little kids making fun of little kids? You can be perfect in every way as a child, but Satan has so branded the world with this put downs, with insults, with accusations, that it starts in our children. Oh, you know, if you're small, they call you a runt. If you're large, they call you, you know, whatever, a giant. If you're skinny, they call you a stick. If you're fat, they call you porky. I mean, they pick on kids and any imperfection that they have. If they wear glasses, they're four eyes. If their ears stick out, they're Dumbo. When I was a kid, it was Carrot Top. And all of us have been picked on the playgrounds. Now, who inspired that? Who anoints this hellish thing to take place? I really believe that Satan has so impacted the world that this whole world has a spirit of rejection. That Americans, the world, seems to not measure up to the standard that we had for beauty, for intelligence, and for money. These are the three gold coins of our world. You know, we teach our children the value of beauty by our stories that we tell them, like the ugly duckling, couldn't have any friends because it was ugly, was rejected, and didn't have anything until it became a beautiful swan. How about Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? Had a very shiny nose. If you ever saw it, you wouldn't even say it glows. All of the other reindeers laughed and called in names. Wouldn't let him play in any of the reindeer games. And so he had to do something insane to get the attention of people. He had to lead through the fog so Santa could get to us. And then everybody really liked him. See, this whole thing, how about Sleeping Beauty? Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? Not you, ugly. It's Cinderella or Snow White. Well, Cinderella's another one, right? And by the time a child is four, the child knows the importance of beauty. They had teachers look at classroom pictures, and the teachers were to pick out the ones that were the troublemakers. And the teachers always went to the kids that weren't dressed well and didn't have their hair cut well and weren't attractive. And when asked who would do the best in school, they picked the attractive, well-groomed children. Satan has so filled us with insults. Luke 4:3 says this, and the devil said to Jesus, if you are the Son of God. You ever heard that? Who are you? You think you can do that if you're a child of God? You're not even saved. You're not filled with the Holy Spirit. You're inferior. And let's go on and skip over to 12:10, Revelation 12:10. It says, then I heard a loud voice saying in the heaven, Now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. Hallelujah. The attribute, the characteristic of our adversary is that he's always giving words of destruction, of belittlement, of insult, of accusation. And many of us have so aligned ourselves with that accusation that we have an inner critic. We don't need demons to whisper lies in our minds about us because we tell ourselves all the time that we're inferior, that we can't. When the Bible says when you're in Jesus Christ, you're more than a conqueror, that you're able to fulfill the destiny that God has for you. But this is the adversary's strategy. It's to bring insult to you. Secondly, he distorts our motivation. He distorts our motivation. In Luke 4, 10 and 12, it says, "For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." This is where Satan is saying, throw yourself down. And Jesus answered and said to him, "It has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." See, Jesus was going to be the Messiah and he was going to go to the cross. And all of a sudden, Satan is telling him, "Hey, your motivation has had all the kingdoms. You just want power. So if you will throw yourself over, everyone will see you being held up by the angels. Go ahead and do it." And he was pushing him to do that which was incorrect, to test and tempt God, to be presumptuous. In Nehemiah 4:2, they were building a wall, and the word of accusation that comes to them questions their motives for building the wall. Will they fortify for themselves? I've heard people in this community talk about other pastors that are in a building program, and they have said, I've heard the people say, he's just building that for his name. He wants that so that he can have a legacy. I haven't heard that about me, but I don't doubt that that's been said. But when I heard it said about another pastor, I stepped up to the plate and said, you don't understand his motivation. He wants to prepare for the next generation. He's in free services now. And he's got 200 plus people coming to every service. He's packed. He's got to have a bigger building. He doesn't want to build for himself. He wants to build for the next generation. See, the enemy always comes and questions your motivations. You know, Doug came up and prophesied. It was a good word from the Lord. But I'm sure if he had a tendency to listen to the adversary would be saying to him, you just did that to be seen. You're just up there to do that and everybody to notice you. I mean, we've all heard those accusations from the adversary of our soul, questioning our motives. The third thing that he does, to deride our worship. He attacks us when we worship God. And if you go to Luke 4, 6, and 8, it says, "And Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." Now, it says in verse 8, "And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you, and the glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you worship before me, all of this will be yours." See, what Satan wants is to attack us during worship. I've had it happen. I'm sure you've had it happen. You're worshiping God, and all of a sudden you remember an offense. You remember something wicked. All of a sudden you have a flash thought, and you're going, oh, that's awful. Or you're distracted during worship. Satan hates the sound of joy. He hates the sound of laughter, and he'll attack us. It's one of his strategies during worship. Number four, to discourage our progress. Have you ever been discouraged with your progress? In Nehemiah 4:2, they're building this wall, and they've got it halfway done, and the accusation is this: will they complete it in a day? Have you ever heard that? You're behind schedule? Man, I felt at 18 and 19, I felt behind schedule. I felt like I should have already had my degree from college. I felt like, you know, I just felt that I didn't accomplish enough at 18 and 19. And for years, I was driven by this thing. And I found out that it was the flesh. It was the world system. I was trying to measure up to every degree. And once you got one degree, then you felt inferior to that master's or that doctorate. And you finally had to just accept that God had called you to do a certain thing, and this was your purpose. Pastors measure, well, my church is this size. What size is your church? All of us do that. Well, I got two cars. How many cars do you have? I got a three-car garage. Dogs. I only got a two-car garage.
we're always measuring each other. And it's one of the demonic strategies that says, you're behind schedule. You think you're going to complete this? You think you're a Christian? I'm telling you what, if you don't believe you can be successful in your marriage, it's a demonic lie. If you don't think you can walk in liberty in God, it's a demonic lie. He'll push you and prod you. If all of a sudden you feel you've got to do something, wait, hold back. Just question what this push is all about. Satan is pushy. Impulse buying can be demonic. Can be. Unless it's happening to me and I see a golf club that I want. Our Lord's strategies. Look, this is where I want to spend the time. Our Lord's strategies. How do we overcome the strategies of the wicked one? Well, the Lord has a strategy for us. The Bible says in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. One, the first weakness of the first strategy of our Lord and the weakness of the devil is prepare for a long resistance. We've got to know that Satan is a short-term fighter, Beelzebub, the Lord of the Flies. And if you'll go to James 4:7, it says that in James 4:7, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and say it with me, in that he will flee. That's a positive promise from God's word if you resist him. Now, I know we've all said no to something once or twice, but many times we're not long-term fighters. We don't stay in it long enough. I truly believe that if we'll resist the devil for 40 days and 40 nights, we will win the victory. We will get liberation. Joyce is here, and Joyce and I have talked a lot about this principle. I taught it in Koinonia before. I've gone to other places and taught it to pastors, and they're teaching it. And I've heard so many tremendous testimonies from people that were healed, delivered, strengthened, because they were fortified in this 40 days of resisting the devil. They picked one weakness, and they attacked that area. Maybe it was a physical lack of discipline. Maybe it was an emotional lack of control. And they concentrated in that area and said, God, fortify me in this area. Touch me in this area. And I have heard miracle after miracle after miracle. Joyce in Youth with a Mission, she's teaching this principle to other missionaries that are taking it to other places. It's being carried. And she's seen great power through this teaching. Now, I want to talk to you real quickly about 40 and how significant 40 is in the Bible. It's mentioned so many times, I couldn't put all the verses that relate to 40. But we're going into 40 days of purpose. And we're going to look for 40 days as a body. There's going to be many of us, I hope all of us, that make a commitment to 40 days. And we're going to start praying every day. And we're going to start resisting the enemy every day. And we're going to learn our purpose in God for 40 days. And at the end of 40, we're going to see a great deliverance. Matter of fact, during the 40, we're going to see deliverance. But at that last day, the 40th day, we will meet together in a combined service. And we will see Satan leave us. So let's look at Numbers 14:34. It says this, according to the number of days in which you spied out the land, 40 days, for each day you shall bear your guilt 1 year, namely 40 years, and you shall know my rejection. Now, if you know the story, the spies, there are 12 of them, and they go into the promised land, and they're looking around, and God has said to them, I'm going to allow you to go and see what I'm going to give you. And I want to tell you what's in the promised land before you go there. There's great fruit, there's great cities, there are great armies, and I'm going to give you the victory. Now, these are the same people that came through the greatest nation of the world, Egypt, and resisted Pharaoh, and God sent miracle after miracle, the 10 miracles. Opened up the Red Sea and they went through. Miracles was their daily bread, it seemed. I mean, they knew a powerful God. And these spies then go in. God says, this is what you're going to see, and I'm going to give you everything you see. Everywhere you put your foot is going to be yours. Now, can you imagine if God said that to you? Just said, hey, in Hanford, I'm going to give you Hanford. Whatever house you want, go ahead. I'd love for him to say that to me. Now, I tell you what, I wouldn't be walking around this neighborhood. Nothing wrong with this neighborhood, but if God said I could have anything in Hanford, I'd probably go on 12th Avenue to the Vintage Estates where those mansions are, and I'd be walking around there and picking out which one I want. God says, go into the promised land. I'm going to give you all of it. And so they're going in, and 10 of the spies, they're walking around saying, oh, look at those giants. Yeah, that's great fruit there. But, oh, my goodness, look at that fortified city. Look at that wall. We're not powerful enough. They're bigger than us. And for 40 days, they walked in unbelief. And it says in this verse that God said to them, for every day you walked in unbelief, it's going to be a year of wandering. You established your destiny because of 40 days. We're going into 40 days of purpose, and I really want us to really build up ourselves and believe God to great, great things. Mark 1:13, I love this verse. It says, and he was there in the wilderness, how many days? 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. And on the 40th day, it says that Satan left him. Satan can't hang around more than 40 days. He's got to leave on the 40th day. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes when people come and stay with me, I can't wait till they leave. Ever been there? Not much. That doesn't happen to me very often. But, you know, you just can't, I could be sweet one more day. I'll tell you what, if you go 40 days, Satan has to leave you. Some of you have such weak bondages on you, it's only going to take 20. But we want you to continue for others. Most of the demons that we fight and the lies that we fight, see, some of you are always putting down yourself. Some of you always think you can do nothing. If for 40 days you say, I can do everything through Christ Jesus. Todo lo puedo en Cristo que me fortalece. How do you say that in English? Todo lo puedo. Everything, how do you say it in English? Todo lo puedo en Cristo que me fortalece. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. That's it. Hey, thanks, Spanish speakers. Oh, my goodness. Maybe I'll talk in tongues and get an interpretation. I mean, so for 40 days, if you have that feeling of being inferior, that you can do nothing, for 40 days, stand and say, in Christ, I can do all things. I can, the psalm says, I can run through a troop and leap over a wall by my God. So some of you wimps need to reclaim that verse and you'll be more strong. I'm going to get in trouble. I better move on. Ezekiel 4:6. Look at this verse. I love this verse. It says, and when you have completed them, lie again on your right side. Then you shall bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days. I have laid on you a day for each year. Ezekiel is told to lay on his side and to prophesy 40 days of blessing on Judah. And for 40 days, he lays on his side. That's got to be a difficult thing. And he's prophesying blessing. Now, Judah's under a curse. They've been under a curse for 40 years. They've been in poverty. They've been in bondage and slavery. And Ezekiel lays on his side and prophesies. And God gives him 40 years of victory for 40 days. He removes the curse and puts a blessing. Can you imagine if you grab your kids in prayer during these 40 days? They've been under a curse. They just seem like they're always attracted to the wrong person. They're always getting in bad relationships. They don't seem to have wisdom about their spending. Lay on your side. No, well, not lay on your side, but pray for 40 days with us and resist the enemy in that area. And I believe you'll see a great blessing. Look with me in Genesis 7:12. It says, and the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. This is speaking of Noah. And of course, the promise here is that the world was filled with wickedness and it took 40 days to eradicate that wickedness. And after 40 days and nights, the evil was swept away and the righteousness was brought in. If you've got a stronghold of wickedness in your life, you've just say, you've always wandered back to that sin. Take these 40 days and resist that thing for 40 days. Stand against it. Believe God. Anybody, listen, please, anybody can win the victory in 40 days. And if you do that, I know it's going to be hard. Some of you, I tell you this, the spirit of tobacco can be broken. I don't know if it's a spirit, but the addiction to tobacco can be broken if you'll just resist it. I know it'll be hard. But if you go 40 days, you'll win the victory. If you ask God to strengthen you every day, he'll help you. Now, know this, tobacco's not going to send you to hell. Well, it might send you to heaven quicker, but it won't send you to hell. Exodus 24:18, it says, so Moses went into the midst of the cloud and went up into the mountain. And Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights and received the Ten Commandments. Some of you have not received a word from God during these 40 days. Say, God, I want greater ability to receive. I want a mind that's open to the word of God. And for 40 days, pray it, and you will see a breakthrough like never before. The Bible will begin to speak to you.
See, this world has blinded their minds. Just remove the blinders in prayer. 1 Samuel 17:16, and the Philistine, that Philistine was Goliath. Here's this 9 foot tall. Can you imagine? 9 foot. He'd make Shaq look small. 9 feet tall. He comes out and he says to Israel for 40 days, and they're resisting. They're trying to stand against him. He says, hey, one of you guys come out here and fight with me, and whoever will dominate the other nation. And on the 40th day, David shows up, little lad. And David says, hey, who is this guy that he thinks he could defile the armies of God? This little lad. He said, I'll fight him. And he so convinces the king, Saul. King Saul lets him go out and fight this 9 foot giant. He tries to put his armor on David, Saul's armor. It won't fit. It's too big for him. He's too small to wear it. David says, no, I'll just go out there with my sling and a rock. Goliath was so weak on the 40th day that he twirls this sling, shoots the rock towards this guy's forehead, and God breathes in back of the rock, and it catapults into his head. And he drops down, and David runs and gets his sword and cuts off his head. Now you know how David got ahead. The enemy is so weak that if you resist him on the 40th day, he will be destroyed. He will be eradicated out of your life. Deuteronomy 25:3 says, 40 blows he may give him and no more. Lest he should exceed this and beat him with many blows above these, and your brother be humiliated in your sight. 40 was the place of yieldedness. It was the place of brokenness. It was when the person would say, I surrender. You ever spanked your kids and they didn't surrender? I got some strong-willed children, and when they were strong-willed as a young child, many times I'd say, okay, go in your room, I'll give you 2 swats. Well, they could handle 2 swats. They were so mad at each other, and they were mad at me. They'd go, okay, 2, 2, I can handle 2. It didn't hurt. So I thought, this ain't working. Now, I was very controlled. Please, parents, listen to me. We're in California. It's insane, the law. I just learned the other day that you can't spank your children except with your hand. It's illegal. And if you leave any mark, well, my kids are as white as white. I told them to marry people of color because we're just too white in this family. And I'm telling you, I would have been thrown in prison for the little red marks I left on their butts. Can I say butt in church? Oh, my goodness. Ompes.
It's okay.
And I would have them lay their little body on their hands. And then I would hold the back of their little back, and I, of course, had them turn their heads so they wouldn't block their airflow or their crying. And I'd say, okay, I'm going to spank you. And they would say, how many? I said, I don't know. I'm going to spank you until you're set free. What? Well, the Bible says that it's not to stop spanking a child for his crying. You deliver him, and I'm going to deliver you. And so I would test the wooden spoon on my leg. I'd hit myself, and boy, that hurt. And so I wouldn't pull back, way back. I just, little stingers. Man, and they didn't know, what's it going to end? It would only take 3 or 4, and they go, and I could feel that they were broken. One time, both of my children are separate times. I know you're going to think that they were a little psychotic, but they're healthy kids. They've gone on, to do well in life and marry well, but one time I was spanking one of my children, and actually both of them said this at different times, didn't know that each other said, but one of them turned to me and said, I think I hit them twice or something. He turned and said, and I know who it is, he turned and said, Dad, I could still feel it inside me. Continue. They learned the principle. And, I did 2 more. I mean, how could you do any more, And my daughter did the same thing. They didn't know each other had done that. And years later, Joanna turns to me and says, Daddy, I could still feel it inside. You need to continue. Because they learned that after that controlled discipline, they were set free from that thing that was driving them and pushing them and causing them. See, the Bible says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, and the rod of correction shall drive it far. Now listen, I'm not talking about blows. I'm talking about discipline. And listen, parents, you've got to be careful. I am shocked by the state of California. We need to pray that this insanity will come back. I'm not talking about bruising the children. I'm not talking about hitting them in places that you shouldn't hit. I would make them lay on their hands because I didn't want to hurt their little hands. In that place that God put a lot of nerve endings. Hallelujah. Satan can't handle 40 blows. If you can think about the days of purpose that you're going to go in to the ring with Satan every time you pray during that 40 days, and you're going to resist him, and every day you're going to hit him. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. I resist this wickedness. I stand against this flesh. I stand against this mentality of being inferior. I stand against the wickedness of immorality. And you fight it like this every day. Then next day, get in the ring. Now, you might feel the blows you won't think that they're poderoso, powerful. But I'm telling you what, every day they'll get more powerful. Every day it weakens Satan. He'll go, oh, my goodness. Could do it again. Oh, my goodness. Oh, you know, back up and back up and back up. And on the 40th day, it says that Satan left. That's why we're going to the 40 days of purpose. That's why you need to get involved in it. That's why you need to be committed to this. I think it's going to be the greatest time in Koinonia that we've ever had. Amen. Let's give it up to the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your principle. Just real quickly, let me go over two more principles. Partner with others. The Bible says one can chase 1,000, two can chase how many? 10,000. So if you go to Matthew 18, 19, and 20, it says, again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. We together, if one could chase 1,000 and two 10,000, what can 1,500 people do? It says that when Peter was put in prison in Acts chapter 13, that the night before he was going to be put to death, martyred, that the whole church was praying. They were praying, set Peter free. Intervene in the situation. And an angel comes to Peter, wakes him up. Can you imagine sleeping the night before you're going to get killed? I can't sleep sometimes before I speak. Weak faith. This man is sleeping so much that the angel has to hit him on the side. And then tells him, put on your own shoes. He's so in a stupor, he has to be told, put on your shoes. Like telling a kid, you know, when they're so asleep. And then leads him out of the prison. All the doors automatically open. That's where they got the automatic eye for doors. He walks through it. And then when he gets through the gates of the city, he goes, oh, God has sent his angel to deliver me. It's like he woke up. And then he goes to the church where they're praying. He knocks on the door. And Rhoda comes down and is going to answer the door. And Peter said, hey, let me in. Let me in. And she runs back up and says, Peter's downstairs. He's set free. And they say, you're crazy. He's at prison, and they've been praying to set him free. Not great faith. Our faith can be very small, but if we combine with each other, it can be great faith. And so let's join together. And then number three, place faith in the finished work of the cross. I think these slides are messed up. They're messed up on mine. I don't know if they're messed up back there or not. They're not? They are? Yeah. Confusion. Three, place faith in the finished work of the cross. I want you to look with me in that last verse, Colossians 2, 14 and 15. If you haven't heard me now, hear me in this verse. This is a beautiful, beautiful verse. Christ wiped out the handwritings of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities, these are demonic forces, and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. In what? In the cross. He disarmed them. He took away the powers that they had. He stripped them of their authority. You know, medals represent authority. And so if you see in a general or a colonel, many times their company, the people that they lead are on their medals. And he stripped Satan of all of his authority, took it off. Now Satan only has the ability to deceive, to trick, to scare, to intimidate. Can a fly really hurt you? Well, yeah, it can if you allow it to stick around. Have you ever thought, irritating. Keeps on getting in my way, irritating. And then you got up and looked for it and it's gone. Satan is the Lord of the flies. He's going to try to hinder you during these 40 days of purpose. Buzz Feleca and his wife, they were supposed to go to Ethiopia during this time. They've canceled their trip because they want to be with this church doing 40 days of prayer, 40 days of resistance. I believe that since Satan has been disarmed, we need to see that he's a weak foe. Greater is he that is in the church than he that is in the world. Through my God, I can do all things. And during this time, we need to really see who Satan is. He is a weak force. Now, in your family background, you need to discern what kind of generational sins are there, because the sin of the father passes down to the third and fourth generation. You need to discern. Well, there's been physical abuse. There's been immorality. There's been this and been that. You need to discern what it is and then come against the adversary of your soul for 40 days. I want to call you to 40 days to resist the adversary of your soul. Would you bow your head and let's just pray? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. The Bible says, Father, that whom the Son has set free is free. And there is freedom in this house this morning. Where two or three are gathered together in the name of Jesus, Jesus, you're in the midst. We take our eyes off every person and we put it on you, Lord Jesus. We focus on you. You died on the cross for me, and that speaks of liberty for me. That speaks of healing for my body and emotional healing for my soul. It speaks for healing of memories, deliverance from every heaviness. It means deliverance for my spirit, where there's been demonic attack, occultism, witchcraft. Whom the Son has set free is free. And I just declare, I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. In Christ Jesus, I'm free. I resist. I resist. I know the flesh is still holding on to certain things, but I'm going to resist. I'm going to resist. I'm going to stand in the name of Jesus. Church of the living God, God is inside you by the person of the Holy Spirit. Greater is he that is in you. I believe this morning that there are individuals here that for a long period of time, the song of joy has not been in your heart. I talked to you honestly about my struggle with depression that I've had over the last couple of years. I told Rena 3 weeks ago, honey, my song's back. Got up in the morning and began to sing. I hadn't done that in years. Just out of my heart, there was joy. And it's increased. It's increased. Come on, church. You have liberty in Christ. If you've lost your song, if you've lost your joy, if you've lost your peace, go ahead and lift up your hands to the Lord. Let me pray for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, for my brothers, for my sisters, I pray that you, God, would come upon them in power and demonstration, that you would set them free. That because of the cross of Jesus Christ and the stripes that he bore on his back, those stripes speak for the healing of the nations. And Lord Jesus, I pray that you'll right now deliver and set free and fill with joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we declare salvation in that area. We rebuke the spirit of heaviness and we ask for the garment of praise to fall upon these individuals. Now, just by faith, even if you don't feel it, just begin to thank God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I praise you, God. I worship you, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That he's that has begun a good work in you, he'll bring it to completion. Hallelujah. That this is the hour of jubilee, the day of deliverance, the moment
that God sets us free. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.